Yeah, Lord, I love you today, and I just submit myself to you. Lord, I hide behind the cross of Christ. I hide behind the Word of God. And Lord, we thank you for your precious Holy Spirit. I release your Spirit in this house, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Lord, we're not just here to massage our brains today. Lord, we ask for life, that you would speak and communicate to us spirit to spirit. Lord, I pray for the fire of the Lord to be released in the house. Lord, we thank you for the rhema word of the Lord that's transforming. And we give you the praise for that and the honor in Jesus' name, the strong Son of God. And everyone said, amen and amen. You may be seated today. You may be seated. Hallelujah. My lead-in verse is probably a verse that you have memorized, but I'm going to read it to you anyway. Jeremiah chapter 29. And verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. The title of the message today is Born to Fly. Would you please say that? Say, born to fly. Now, would you say this in faith? Say, I was born to fly. I was born to fly. Come on, touch your neighbor and say, hey, you were born to fly. Find somebody, pinch them and say, hey, you were born to fly. You were born to fly. Now, Jeremiah chapter 29, 11. I know you have it memorized. If you don't, you're going to like it so much, you're going to go home and memorize it. It says this, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Someone say, born to fly. Come on, God has great plans for you today. God is looking at you saying, I am setting you up for success. I have incredible things in mind for you. That's the heart of the Father. That's the heart of God. Can you say amen? Now, I just recently turned 50 years old, and I know that's hard to believe because I look so young. But I always had a dream, and that was to skydive. I wanted to jump out of an airplane. And my wife said to me, there is no way you're going to do that. So we celebrated 24 years of marriage. And so my wife would never release me to jump out of an airplane. And then on my 50th birthday, she surprised me and said, for your 50th, you can jump out of an airplane. And so I think we have that. There it is. And so I always wanted to jump out of an airplane. I considered doing it and taking all the lessons. I didn't know if I would have to throw up. I'm a little scared of heights and nervous, but I was willing to do it because I wanted to fly. I wanted that feeling of flying. And if you have jumped out of an airplane before, if you have skydived, you know it's really not like falling at all because there's no frame of reference. It's sincerely the idea and the feeling of flying. It was exhilarating. And so I can tell you today that I have flown. Hallelujah. So say it out loud again. I was born to fly. I was born to fly. I was born to fly. Now, let me introduce this by telling you a story. And some of you guys are familiar with the Three Musketeers. You may have had to read that when you were in school. But there is a novel that's written by Alexandre Dumas. And he wrote the Three Musketeers. And within those volumes, one of the volumes is The Man in the Iron Mask. That's been popularized and made into movies, but it was based around a story, a true story at the time of in France under the reign of Louis XIV. And the story was this, that there was a prisoner who was thrown into jail, and they threw him into jail and put an iron mask over his head. And so rumors started circulating. Who is this prisoner? In fact, it must be somebody so important that they wanted to hide his identity. So can you imagine being in prison, but you've got an iron mask over your head, there's two small holes to see out of, you have a hole to breathe, and just a hole enough to eat. And so rumors started circulating. Who is this important prisoner? And probably the greatest legend that came out of that, it was actually the philosopher Voltaire who started telling the story first. But the greatest legend was that it was the twin brother of Louis XIV, the king. And he was actually the rightful heir to be the king. Now, Louis XIV was a terrible dictator. He was a terrible monarch, very selfish. His people lived in suffering. And so the Three Musketeers were the elite guard that surrounded King Louis XIV. And because he was such a bad king, they started coming up with a plan. And they said, we're going to rescue this prisoner who is the twin, identical twin of the king. And we're going to set him free. And we want to pull a switch and put the king, the rightful heir, into the throne. And so that's the way the story goes. They broke into the prison, and they got the prisoner, had an iron mask, and they took off the iron mask when they got him to a safe place, and they couldn't believe it. He looked just like the king. The problem was he had been in prison for a long time. And so they wanted to make this switch, but he didn't know how to act like a king. He didn't know how to talk like a king. He didn't know how to walk like a king. And so the story is they taught him how to do that. They taught him how to walk like a king, how to speak like a king, how to act like a king. And finally, when he was ready, they broke into the palace and they made the switch. They kidnapped the king. They switched him out. And what did they do with King Louis XIV? They put an iron mask on him and threw him into jail. The next day, the king, Louis XIV, wakes up, and France had a good king who was very benevolent. Now, no one ever knows if that story is true. They cannot prove it. But what an incredible story. And it's really the picture of the gospel. If you think about this, all of us came out of prison. All of us were in prison. We were in the bondage of sin. Jesus comes to set us free. And he takes the mask off of us. The problem is, most of us don't know how to act like a king. Most of us don't know how to walk like royalty. Most of us don't know how to speak like royalty. Well, I'm here to declare to you today that the mask is coming off. Jesus wants the mask to come off so that you learn how to walk like a king. You learn how to talk like royalty. You learn how to speak like royalty. And Jesus is in the process of taking off the mask so that you can discover who you really are. Can you say amen? Now say this out loud. Say, I was born to fly. Say, I was born to fly. Now come on, say this. Say, the mask is coming off. Say it. The mask is coming off. And so I want to share with you a few simple principles this morning about your identity, about who you are. And the first thing is this: you were born of God. Would you please say that? Say, I was born of God. Come on, now pinch your neighbor and say, hey, 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 you were born of God. Tell him, find somebody. Say, you were born of God. Now, John chapter 1 and verses 12 to 13 says this. 1, 12 to 13. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Please say that again. Say, I was born of God. I was born. So I want you to know today that when you became born again, you were adopted into God's family. You were born of God. Now hear the word of the Lord today. It doesn't matter where you came from. When you came into Christ, you were born again. You became a child of God. So hear the word of the Lord. It doesn't matter where you came from. It really just matters where you're going and where you are today. Can you say amen? Now I've got some money here today. I've got some Hong Kong money. It's a Hong Kong 10, so a little more than a U.S. 1 here. So I like your money. That I like that. So now this is worth 10 Hong Kong dollars right here. Now I want you to think about this. If I were to crumple this up, how much is this worth? Still worth 10, right? If I throw this on the ground and it gets dirty and it gets muddy, how much is it worth? Still 10. If somebody walks on it, tramples on it, even if it gets torn a little bit, it's still worth $10. Now, hear the word of the Lord today. I don't know what your background is. I don't know where you came from today. But what you've got to get a hold of more than anything else is how valuable you are to the Lord. And so you might be here this morning and say, you know what, I feel like I've been trampled on. I feel like I've been walked on by other people. You're still valuable in the Lord. Amen? You may feel a little dirty today because of the mistakes that you have made or the things that you have walked to. Hear the word of the Lord today. You're still valuable in the sight of God. And so many times we disqualify ourselves, or we feel that we're unworthy, or we feel that we're not very valuable, or we feel dirty. Listen, in Christ today, you are valuable. Even if you feel torn up today, you still have value as a child of God. So say it out loud. Say, I was born of God. Say it. I was born of God. So you're valuable today. You are precious in the sight of the Lord. My daughter, I'm going to tell you stories today about my children, but my daughter Skylar, when she was about 4 or 5, I went up to Skylar and I said, Skylar, why are you so beautiful? And I thought she would respond and say something like, because mommy's beautiful. That's what we teach our kids, right? Or maybe she would say, because God made me that way. That's what we teach our kids. And so I said, Skylar, why are you so beautiful? I couldn't believe it. Came right up out of her spirit. And here's what she said. She said, because you love me. Now that is incredible revelation. Skylar, why are you so beautiful? Because you love me. And I want you to know today that you are beautiful. You are extraordinary today. Not because of the world's definition of success, or not because of what other people say. You are beautiful today because God loves you. You're successful today because God loves you. You're an extraordinary person today because of God's love for you. That's what makes you an incredible person. Can you shout amen? Say it out loud. I was born of God. I was born of God. So it doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter what kind of pain you came from. It doesn't matter what circumstances. Hear the word of the Lord today. Your past doesn't define you. Your circumstances don't define you. You are defined because you're a child of God today. And I'm here to declare to you today by the authority of the word of God that you are valuable and you are precious in his sight. You were born of God. You were born of God. In 1945, there was a man by the name of Andrei Stamos, and he was thrown into a Russian prison. This is during World War II. At the age of 20, he was thrown into prison. He spent most of his time in prison in solitary confinement. And so 55 years later, at the age of 75, can you imagine being in prison for 55 years, most of that time in solitary confinement? But 55 years later, when the Soviet Union changed over to Russia, they started emptying out their prisons. And they found this man, and he was talking gibberish. And so they found a psychologist, and they figured it out. They thought this guy was crazy because he had been in solitary confinement. Well, they found this man, this psychologist, and he went in there and he came out and he said, this man isn't crazy. He's speaking Hungarian, but it's actually such an old dialect that none of us recognize it. And so 55 years. Now, what do you think that Andrei Stamos asked for the very first thing when he got his freedom? Was it a certain kind of food? Was it to see his family? I'm sure all of those things were very important. But they said, what do you want? Do you know what Andrei Stamos asked for? He said, please bring me a mirror. He had not seen himself for 55 years. Now draw that up on your video screen. 20 years old, you go in at the prime of your life. 55 years later, you're in, most of the time, solitary confinement. He looked into the mirror and he saw himself, and all he could do was weep and cry because of the change. Now, I want you to know today, most people, I'm going to guess today you looked in the mirror. I'm going to guess, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. You want to know how you look today. But most of us, we have a good idea of what we look like. But I want you to know today that most Christians don't even have an idea of what they really look like, because they're still defining themselves as though they have an iron mask. They still define themselves as though they're in prison today. I want you to know today that God wants you to lift off the mask, and he wants you to look into the mirror of the word of God and begin to see the potential that is inside of you. Begin to see the extraordinary gifts that he has put inside of you. Begin to see the anointing that he has put inside of you. But you gotta look into the right mirror today. Amen, church? Now here's the problem. Most people are looking into the wrong mirror. So you've got two mirrors today. You've got the mirror of the world, and you've got the mirror of the Word of God. But most Christians are still looking into this mirror over here, defining beauty, defining success, defining the things of life by the world's definition. My brother and my sister, you have got to turn from looking into this mirror and look over here into the Word of God and find who you are by looking into this mirror, that you were born of God, that you're successful in Christ, that your beauty is defined by because of God's love, not because of the world's definition. Amen? Come on, throw your hands up in the air right now and say, I was born of God. Say it, I was born of God. I am so tired of the world's definition of beauty. I'm so tired of the world's definition of success. And I'm not demeaning that, but I'm telling you there's something so much deeper and richer and eternal if we'll turn from this mirror and look into this mirror right here. Amen? My brother and sister, if you'll begin to do that, then you'll see that God will solidify you in your identity. You'll have security in Christ, and you'll quit shifting with the shadows, and you'll quit shifting with the circumstances, because you will know who you are. Amen? Say it, I was born of God. Say it, I was born of God. And so my question to you today is, do you know what you look like? Are you looking in the right mirror? Do you know who you are? So number one, you got to realize you're born of God. But secondly, I want you to know that you're in the middle of a battle today. So we read in Jeremiah 29:11 that God has an incredible plan for your life. You realize this today, that the devil also has a plan for your life. Hates your guts and will do whatever he can to destroy you. Jesus said it this way, he's out to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he's trying to take away your identity. So my brother and sister, hear the word of the Lord today. You're going to have to fight for that thing. So you were born of God, but you were born to fight. Say it, I was born to fight. I was born to fight. And so look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians 10 and verses 3 to 5 says this: For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So you're born of God, but you're going to have to fight for your identity. You're going to have to fight for your family. You're going to have to fight for your children's identity. So the devil is going to attack you with thoughts. He's going to attack your identity. And more than anything, he's going to try to make you think that you're insignificant, invaluable, and that you're losing in life. And you're going to have to take captive every thought and say, I was born of God. Now, I grew up in the church, and when I was in high school, I went to a youth group function, and they decided to have a banana eating contest to see who could eat the most bananas. And so they said, well, get Eric. And I like everything. I love bananas. Anything banana. I like banana ice cream. I like banana milkshakes. Anything. I like bananas. And so they said, get Eric. He can eat a lot of bananas. And so we had 3 minutes to eat as many bananas as we could. But there was only one rule. We had to do it blindfold. I said, no problem. I can eat bananas blindfolded. So they blindfolded me, and one person was peeling bananas. And so they said, on your mark, get set, go. And I was eating bananas, and everybody's cheering. Eric, you're the best. You're the best. And I am. I'm the best banana eater in the world. So they're shouting, Eric, you're the best. You're the best. Suddenly, they begin to change. And they said, Eric, you're losing. John is beating you. John's eating. I said, what? I can't have that. So now I'm frantically grabbing bananas, just bah, bah, just stuffing them in my mouth. So after 3 minutes, they took the blindfold off of me, and everybody's laughing because I was the only one eating bananas. Some of you are just getting that. So I was the only one eating bananas. So what was happening? They were messing with my mind. They were messing with my mind. They were trying to get me to think that I was losing. Listen, that is a great picture of spiritual warfare. Because I want you to know that the devil is really just messing with your mind. I want you to know today that you're not in the middle of a competition. So many times we think that we're competing, that God's up there comparing us, one brother to another, one sister to another, that we're competing. Listen, hear the word of the Lord today. You're not competing against your brother or sister. I got great news for you today. We're all winners in Christ. Can you say amen? And so it's so important, but you got to take captive these thoughts and say, you know what? I am valuable in Christ. I am not losing. You have got to hold on to God's destiny, to God's plan for your life, and you got to fight for that thing. Amen, church? And so I told you about Skyler. Let me tell you about Erickson. And all these stories that I'm going to tell you about my kids were right when they were around 4 or 5. And so Erickson and I... And I noticed a big difference between my girls and my boys. So my girls, you know, they could play for hours quietly playing house and tea. You know, they may argue once in a while. But the boys, it'll get physical. And so boys just like to fight. And so one time I was playing with my son and we were sword fighting. And we were fighting and I said, I got you. And you know what came out of that little boy's mouth? I stabbed him. I said, I got you. And he looked right at me and he says, I'm not dead yet. Now that's powerful revelation. Amen. I want you to say that out loud. Say, I'm not dead yet, man. Come on now, slap your neighbor upside the head and say, hey, you are not dead yet. Come on, you're not dead yet. So I don't know what's going on in your life today. I don't know the pain. I don't know if you've lost things, if you've gone through ups and downs. But hear the word of the Lord. You're not dead yet, amen? And you're going to make it through this valley, and God is going to pull you through, and you're going to climb this mountain because God is on your side. But you got to fight for this thing, amen? Oh, hallelujah. One time we were sitting around the kitchen table, we were having breakfast, and again, my boys, you know, it's amazing about boys, sometimes they just have to shout. That's the way boys are. And so we're sitting there eating breakfast, and suddenly my son threw his hand up in the air and he goes, rah! Like, what is going on in this house? Rah! And he looked at me and he said, Daddy, we're kings. We have to fight. And that's powerful revelation. This kid's got it. He's a king, but he's got to fight for that thing. Amen? Say it out loud. I'm a king. Or if you're a queen, say it. I'm a queen. Come on, say it, say it, say it, say it. But I got to fight. I got to fight. I got to fight. I got to fight. You got to fight for this thing. But what a revelation. He knew that he was a king, but he had to fight for it. So I want you to know today, you're born of God. Please say that. I'm born of God. Now say this, I was born to fight. I was born. You're going to have to fight for this thing. It is not going to come easy. You're in the middle of a battle today. You're in the middle of a raging war, but you're going to make it. Amen? So we live in Florida, and in the newspaper some years ago, there was an article about a woman named Mary. In fact, they called her Florida Mary. You can look it up. And so she was homeless. She would walk around with a shopping cart, and she would dig through garbage bins looking for food. And so she lived on the streets. And then one day she died. And so the authorities came, they found her on the streets. But as they began to investigate, they found out that Mary actually had a house. And so they went to her house. So here she lived on the streets, but she had a house. As they went through her things, guess what they found? They found stocks. They found bonds. She had stocks in Coca-Cola, in different companies. When they added all up, Florida Mary was worth over $1 million. But she was living on the streets. My brother and sister, that is such a picture of the spiritual life. If we could just get a hold of the heritage and the inheritance that we have and who we are in Christ, you have the equivalent of millions, but most of us are living on the streets like we have nothing. Most of us are still living in a prison of pain like we have a mask on our head. But I'm here to tell you today, the mask is coming off and we're going to discover the inheritance that God has given us. Amen? Say it out loud. I was born of God. Say this, I was born to fight. I was born to fight. The next thing is that you were born to love. Please say that. Say, I was born to love. Say it, I was born to love. So in 1 John chapter 4, 1 John 4 and verse 19, it says this. We love because he first loved us. Would you say that out loud? Say, I love because he first loved me. And so I want you to think about this. When you're free, when you've been set free, then you're free to love and minister to others. But think about this. When you're hurting, if you're really in pain, it's hard to think about other people. If you're in a prison of pain, if you're in a prison of addiction, if you're in a prison or a bondage, a place of pain, it's hard for you to think about somebody else. But when the masks come off and when God begins to touch and heal your heart and you're totally set free, now you're free to love people with the love of God. There's no manipulation. You're not playing a game. You're not trying to get something from them. You're not trying to manipulate anything. No, you're completely free because God set you free. And when you're free in that regard, you will love and you can love with the unconditional love of God. Amen? And I'm here to declare to you today, God wants the mass to come. Don't you want to be so free that you quit thinking about yourself? Don't you want to be so free that you don't have to look in this mirror over here? You can just look in this mirror, the Word of God. Don't you want to be so free that you don't have to think about your own stuff and your own pain, but you can just look around and say, who can I love today? Who can I minister today? And I'm here to tell you, you were born to love. That's what God designed you to do. That's what God created you to do. Yes, he wants to heal you. Yes, he wants to save you. Yes, he wants to set you free. Yes, he wants to teach you how to walk like a king and be like a king and minister like a king. But he wants to set you free for a purpose, and that's to love people, and that's to minister to people, and that's to touch the people that are around you. You were born to love. God loves us. And when we're touched deeply by the love of God, when we're hit in a deep place by the love of God, we can turn around and love people in an unconditional way. Amen, church? When Sierra's my oldest, when she was about 4 or 5, we went to California, and I was preaching at a church in California. And in Southern California, to my knowledge, there's a Buddhist temple there. It's actually the largest Buddhist temple in Southern California. And so we were driving by, and we saw this temple, and Sierra was just at a very curious age. She said, Daddy, what is that? So we began to tell her, that's a Buddhist temple. Well, what's a Buddhist temple? Well, what do they believe? And she was really stirred by this. She said, well, can I go in there? I want to go in there. I want to see it. And so we talked about it. We prayed, and we thought, yeah, that'll be okay. And so I remember taking her in to the Buddhist temple, and I'm holding in her. We saw the statues and the idols, and she was just looking. And then all the monks were there, and they were sitting on the floor, and they were rocking, and they were saying something over and over and over again. And we left the Buddhist temple and went outside, and she said, Daddy, she says, I know what they were saying. I said, you do? I said, what were they saying? She said, yeah, they were saying over and over, give us an answer. Give us an answer. And she just kind of sang, give us an answer. I believe God gave her the interpretation. And you know that people are crying out today, give us an answer. Your colleagues at work, your family, your friends, they're crying out, give us an answer, give us an answer. They may not know how to even ask the question, but deep down they're saying, give us an answer. They're looking for it in addiction. They're looking for it in success. They're looking for it in all kinds of places, but they're crying out today, give us an answer. I'm here to tell you today, you've got the answer for a messed up world, and God wants the mass to come off of your life so that you'll be completely free and you'll be able to minister to people with the unconditional love of God. Amen. So we can get all this stuff of ourselves out of the way and we can just minister with unreserved love and unreserved passion to just touch people's lives. Come on, say it out loud. I was born to love. That's the way God made you. He created you to love. His love, the God nature, God's life, is inside of you. And if you get a hold of your identity, I was born of God. I was born to fight. But I was born to love. And I am free. And the love of God can just flow out of me. You know, people, they realize whether you love them or not. You know that. You know that. People say, well, how do you minister cross-culturally? And I have a grace. I know that there's a grace on my life to minister cross-culturally. I have a grace. I can share the gospel with a taxi driver that can't even communicate in English. Somehow I can get the gospel across to them. There's a grace. I realize that. But you know what the main thing? You want a secret to travel? You want a secret to minister across cultures? Just love people. Love them. They know deep down whether you love them or not. A smile will take you around the world. The love of God will take you around. People know when you look in their eyes whether you really care, whether you really love for them. People know when you minister whether the love of God is flowing out of you. I want you to know today, you were born to love. That's what God created you. He puts the love inside of you, and then it flows out like a river. Can you say amen? Come on, say it. I was born to fly. Say it, I was born to fly. Say, I was born of God. Say, I was born to fight. And say, I was born to love. I was born to love. The final thing is this, and we want to bring it home, is that you were born to fly. I want you to see Isaiah. And I know you probably have this memorized, but in Isaiah chapter 40, I'm going to read it to you. Isaiah 40 and verses 28 to 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Would you please say, I was born to fly? Say it out. Come on now, put your hands out. Come on, put your hands out in the air and say, hey, I was born to fly. Come on, somebody, put your hands out. Put your hand. You say, that American preacher is, yep, I'm crazy. Put your hands out in the air. Say it, I was born to fly. Say it, I was born to fly. Now, I'm not very smart, but I notice there's a difference between chickens and eagles. And chickens, if you think about it, chickens can't fly very far. And chickens just peck around looking for scraps. Buck, 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 buck. And their heads are always down. And that's the way most Christians live. Their heads are down looking for the scraps. You know what? God wants you to lift your eyes today. Lift your eyes to the mountains, to where your help comes from. He doesn't want you to be like a chicken. He wants you to be like an eagle. Bible said here, be like an eagle, not a chicken. Say it out loud. I'm an eagle. Say it, I'm an eagle. And so he created you to soar above the circumstances of life, to soar above your problem. Listen, I know you're going to go through valleys, but hear the word of the Lord. You're going to make it through that valley. God has called you to soar. He has called you to fly. He has called you to rise up over your circumstances. God doesn't want you to be like a chicken that's just looking for the scraps. He wants you to lift your eyes and wants you to soar like an eagle. Amen? Say it again. I was born to fly. I was born to fly. And so I like superheroes. I really enjoy superheroes. When I was a kid, my favorite was Superman, and because I like to fly. And so I thought I wanted to fly. If I could choose to be a superhero, it'd be Superman. I like the fact that he can fly. And so one time Ryder, my youngest and I, he was about 4 or 5 at the time, and we were playing superheroes. And so we would make up who we were and the power that we had. And so I decided, I've got lightning power. So we're in the middle of a fight, and I said, I got lightning, and I'm going to release my lightning to you. And I went, that'll do it, that little kid. I'll wipe him out with my lightning. And do you know what came out of Ryder? This is what he came. He didn't even miss a beat. Came right up out of his spirit. He said, oh, yeah? Well, I have God hands. And I can block your lightning. And anything you shoot at me, I can block it. That's powerful revelation. Amen? Come on, say it out loud. Say, I got God hands. Say it. Come on. Come on, look at your hands. Say, I got God in. See, these hands are going to heal the sick. Come on, somebody. These hands are going to drive out demons. These hands, anything you touch is going to prosper today because you've got God hands. Can you say amen? So I'm here to declare to you today. I'm here to prophesy to you today. I'm here to tell you today under the mantle and under the authority of God that the mask is coming off of you today. You were born of God. You were born to fight. You were born to love, but you were born to fly. Amen. Come on, take your hand like this and say, the mask is coming off. You say, why does this guy have me do all this? Because you'll never forget it. You'll leave here today and you'll remember. remember that. Come on, put your hands out in the air. You know, I can preach a whole sermon. I don't even need the language. I don't even need to. I don't need to speak Cantonese. I can preach. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, one more time. Say, I was born to fly. Come on, throw your hands up in the air and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I'm here to tell you today that God is going to rip off the mask, set you free. Would you start looking in this mirror? Turn your head from here and look into the mirror of the Word of God. You were born to fly. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet today. Amen. Does that bless you at all? Does that bless you? Does that bless you? Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Now, here's what I felt like the Lord said today. So there's a lot in that sermon if you'll get a hold of it. If you'll say, God, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. There's a lot in that. But here's what I felt like the Lord wanted to do today. If you're going to fly an airplane, you need some fuel. You need to get filled up. And so when you come into God's presence, you hear his word. But we want to release his presence and his power today. And many of us here today just need a little bit of fuel. You need to get some fuel inside of you so that you can come out of here flying. You know, you get into God's presence, and that's what begins to happen. Amen? And so I want you to just close your eyes, right? Throw your hands up in the air, both your hands, if you're comfortable with that. And just say this out loud. Say, Jesus, I believe that you created me to fly. I don't want to be tied down. I don't want to live in prison, but I want the mask to come off. Teach me who I am. Teach me royalty. I want to walk like you. I want to talk like you. I want to fly. Yeah, I want to fly. Now, right now, Lord, I just pray right where we are that you'll begin to release the power of your spirit. Fill us up. Fill us up with the fuel that we need to fly. Fill us up right now, right now, right now, right now. Just take a deep breath. Breathe in. Breathe in the presence of God. Breathe in the presence of God. What's going to happen today is you're going to come out of here. Faith is going to rise on the inside of you. Faith to fly. Faith to rise above your circumstances. Faith to go to the next level. Because it happens when you make a connection with the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Thank you. Let's begin to worship the Lord. But we got just a few minutes here, and God's going to multiply the time for me. But I'm going to, for those of you that you were really touched by this message today, something happened on the inside of you. You say, listen, I may not know you today, but if you'll trust me, there's something about you coming to the front and receiving. God's going to release an impartation for you today so that you can soar. And some of you need that today. You heard a lot of these illustrations. You said, man, that speaks right to me. If you need just an infusion of God's presence and power to fly, I want you to begin to make your way to the front right now. Just begin to come. Just begin to come. Begin to come. Real quick. Just come all the way from the back. Don't hesitate. We can pack it in up here. We can pack it in up here. We can pack it in. We can pack it in. You come today. You come. God's going to do something. God's going to do something. God's going to do something today. God's going to do something. So what I'm going to do today is I'm just going to release his presence. So you can draw it up. You can draw it up in faith. View yourself like an airplane, and here comes the fuel. I'm going to come with my hose and just, and when I'm going to plug you in, hallelujah. And when I lay hands on you, it's like the hose coming, and you're just going to feel just the power of God begin to rush through you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, because you're going to come out of here just cranked up, feeling the love of God, feeling the fire of God, feeling the fuel of God. Amen. Amen. So let's say this out loud. Those of us that are up here, say, Jesus, I believe by faith that you will infuse and release fuel for me to fly. I receive it today in faith, and I thank you for it. I was born to fly. I was born to fly. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's worship the Lord. Let's worship the Lord. And I'm just going to come and just release God's fuel and God's power. Is there somebody who can work with me up here? Amen. Let's worship.
Consuming fire, fading to flame.
Man, if you could see what I see, if you could see what I see, just like a funnel that's come straight from heaven, plugged into you like an aircraft. God just pouring out just liquid glory, liquid fuel coming on the inside of you. Whew. Yeah, because he needs some aircraft here on earth. He needs you flying. Come on, somebody needs to fly a 737 full of food to Africa. Come on, somebody, oh, yeah, Sobokolo, yeah, Mashika Bakala. I see airplanes. I see you guys. Yeah, if you could see what I see, God filling you up. God filling you up. Hallelujah. Yeah, just say one last time. Say this. Say, Lord, I love you. And I thank you that you created me for something great. The devil is a liar. I will fulfill the plans and purposes that you have for me. I will fly. I believe it and I receive it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a clap in faith today. Let's give him a clap. Amen.
Amen. I really feel like, you guys, especially up here, there's a grace to pray right now. And so can I just grab somebody next to you, right? And just, there's something that you want to soar over. I feel like there's such a grace. And so we're going to dismiss in a moment. I'll give the benediction. Can I just ask you to pray for just one another right now? You can share real quick. Like there's something, you don't have to share anything. There's just something that someone needs to overcome here. They need to soar over something. That's why we're here in the front. And so I feel like there's such a grace for intercession to cover that right now. And so can we do that? Can we just go before the Lord? And you pray about your own thing, but we're going to do it together, right? It's always powerful when we do it together. And so let's pray. Let's just go before the Lord. Let's pray right now. Thank you, God. Release the grace, God. Whatever it is, Lord. Whether there's some circumstance, God. There's some person. There's some situation, Lord. We just pray grace right now over this. Release, God. Yes. Yeah, God, thank you. You're going to give us words to speak, God. Ideas that go forward, Lord. Lord, as deep calls out to deep, God. This is just the beginning of our prayers, son. Let's take this throughout our weekend. Let's continue to take it to the Lord. But Lord, I thank you, God, that we have victory in Christ Jesus. I thank you, God, that every work, everything that we put, God, will not be in vain. Our toil will not be in vain, God. You promised us that. And so we thank you for the victory. We thank you for these circumstances. We thank you for these situations, God. We thank you for these people, God, that we're interceding over right now. And we thank you that they belong to you and that the victory belongs to you, God. And so we bless you, God. We thank you. We love you so much, Lord. We honor you, God. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please continue to pray. God bless you guys. Always grateful to have Pastor Eric here. Please pick up your kids. If you need some prayer for healing, you can make your way up to the front and we'll pray for you. God bless you guys.